is it this? It's this. Okay. Right. Good evening, everybody, and thank you so much for coming to the ICA this evening for our second evening of the Essay Film Festival 2017. I'm Laura Mulvey. I'm on the organizing group of the festival, and it's a particularly thrilling moment to be here and introducing sound effects and introducing our highlight speaker of this year, Babette Mongold. I'm introducing her, and I'm also going to say a few things about the film. But I did find, when I was putting together what I thought would be a disciplined introduction to Babette's life and work, I found I was digressing into my own memories. And so there'll be a personal bit coming up in the middle. And a lot of these points we can pick up later. The evening is going to go, we're going to show, I'm going to do the introduction, we're going to show the main feature. Babette and I will then discuss it. We'll show the short film, and then we'll open up the discussion to all of you. So that's the kind of rough pattern. And any of the things that I'm saying in the introduction can be picked up at any time later. Now, Babette Mongold I'm going to start at the beginning. She was born and educated in France, and she went to university to study mathematics, dropped out, and found that the best way to fill her time was to go to the cinema and watch films. Is that true, Babette? Yeah. So she became what she might call either a film buff in some contexts, a cinephile in other contexts, but definitely a frequenter of the cinematheque in the early 60s, early to mid 60s. Also, I think she went round the other neighborhood cinemas and watched American Hollywood films dubbed into French. So she had a kind of wide exposure to cinema at the time. And some of the films that she mentions will be special favorites of a number of people here. She mentions Lola Montez, Man with a Movie Camera, Hiroshima, Mon Amour, and The Searchers as particular films of that period. But perhaps out of this encounter with cinema, which was both rooting her in a love of cinema, but it was also a means of learning about cinema. And she decided to go to a film school and take this trajectory one stage further. And this is where the very, very specific story of Babette Mongold starts, as she decided that she wanted to study to be a cinematographer. That was difficult. There was no precedent for having women cinematographers in film school, and we'll talk a little bit about Babette's experience with this later. But she did manage to study for 2 years at the École Nationale de la Photographie et de la Cinématographie between 64 and 66. She then worked in Paris for some time, working as an editor as well as with difficulty as a cinematographer, but she can talk about that later. But the next step comes as an example how film was an object of love, but also an object of intense, one might say, insatiable curiosity. And one evening, I think in the south of France, she heard people discussing a film, a new American film called wavelength about which there was a strong difference of opinion. And this sense of curiosity about the cinema actually took Babette across the Atlantic to New York precisely to see this movie. So, and again, that's something we can talk about a bit later, but it was there, in a sense, that her career took off as a stills photographer working with dance and theatre people like Tricia Brown or Richard Foreman, and also beginning to work as a cinematographer, and which I'll now talk about from my own perspective. So, from my own perspective, and this takes me back to my time in the early 70s, in the days when I first became interested in this conjuncture, women and film, which had always seemed rather like a kind of abstract aspiration. And it's here that Babette's work stands out as a landmark in two ways. First of all, her collaborations with Yvonne Reyna and Chantal Ackerman, and then her own work, the films that she made herself. But anyway, in 1974, here in London at the National Film Theatre, at some season of international experimental films, I saw Yvonne Reyna's Lives of the Performers. And this was a moment in which the cinema opened up for me in a new way. And I'll never forget the elegance and the beauty of the opening sequence of Lives of the Performers with Babette's camera gliding around the choreography of the dancers in the as the film begins. Now, at this point, it seemed to me that there had been a scattering of achievements of women in film. But as I said a moment ago, it always seemed rather like an abstract aspiration. But seeing the collaboration between Babette Mongault and Yvonne Reyna on the screen, a new perspective emerged. Women's cinema not only could exist, but one could see it there existing on the screen at that moment. And this was a this I think was a kind of turning point for me. It opened up all kinds of new ideas, and it might be, I was trying to imagine when I was writing this, whether that was the moment when I began to realize that filmmaking would be possible for me as a woman as well. So just to say a little bit more about this particular moment, it was a collaboration between two women, but women directors, few and far between, had actually existed before in the history of film. Women cinematographers hadn't. So in that sense, this was a revelatory moment in that a woman could actually shoot a film as well as directing. It was startling. It was a moment, I think, of political and aesthetic importance. Also, it was significant in that Babette was working with 16 millimeter film. And I think this is something that I'd like to ask her about in the Q&A. And that, too, was a revelation of the way in which 16 millimeter could make film more informal, more fluid, and in a sense also open it up to women cinematographers. Now, my last, just to finish off this historical, personal bit of my introduction, it was almost as important when Babette started making films herself. Her first film, What Maisie Knew, came out, I think, in 1975. She's nodding. And that was important in that It was one thing to have a woman become a cinematographer. It was another thing for a woman cinematographer to start to make her own films. And this, in a sense, challenged and crossed that long-standing, unbridgeable gap between the technician and the creative side. So this was, in a sense, a challenge to that division of labor on which the cinema had been established for so, for the professional cinema had been established for so long. And that, too, was a moment of great excitement. And also, this was the moment when the very significant journal, Camera Obscura, started its publication in the US at this time, with, I think, the second issue Constance Penley wrote about what Maisie knew, and that sense of the crossover between the skilled woman cinematographer and the creative woman director became a kind of iconic moment or image for us then. I also just want to emphasize this overlap because it actually emphasizes the way that for women and film in inverted commas at the time, there was an extremely important interaction, dialogue, etc., between practice, making, and ideas, thinking. And that kind of legacy, I think, is still very much here and inscribed into what we're doing in the Essay Film Festival, that kind of how ideas get into film. We'll see Camarageux in a moment. Camarageux is the middle part of a triptych, which starts with What Maisie Knew, and then the third one is The Cold Eye. Be careful, my darling. My darling, be careful, sorry. Tomorrow we're seeing the landscape films, and there'll be further discussion. Babette is now Professor of Visual Arts at University of California, San Diego. I didn't mention two really important things. That she went on, after Lives of the Performers, of course, to shoot Jeanne Dielman with an absolutely extraordinary kind of translucent cinema. And then in 1981, she shot Gold Diggers for Sally Potter. And spent some time here in London. So I wanted just to end with a few points about the way in which we could think of Camarageux as an essay film. It's a film about process, about making, about a clash between stillness and movement, both in the film itself and in the conjuncture of still photography and film. It's a self-portrait of someone you never see on screen, but you hear her voice in the background, and a reflection on the medium in process, but also a reflection on the self as process, as creative process. There are lots of other things. I won't go on now because I just wanted to end with a quotation from a very nice piece on Babette's work that was recently published in After All, in an essay by Barbara Clausen. She says, and this is in a sense bringing Babette and the idea of Babette's, the importance of her legacy, the importance of her encapsulating a certain amount of memory and her work as archival. It says, today Mongault can be recognized as a catalyst for the performing arts of her time, having delivered documentary photographs, videos, and films that fed into the cultural memory of an entire decade. The success and recognition of her work can be traced back to the diverse economies of her conditions of production and her friendships with those she worked with, which I just wanted to underline because I think that's a thread that runs through her life. Her technical perfectionism and her self-described selfless methodology is grounded in the diversity of roles she plays within these collaborations. fluctuating between collaborator, expert, author, and hired gun. Babette.